These readings are the same readings that we have each Lent during the second week. These readings on the Transfiguration, very much the central meaning of our Lenten journey. Because every soul, eventually, when we get to heaven, will experience this glorification of the body. But we can begin to experience this as we walk through this earth. A turning from the old is this Transfiguration. It's a conversion. It's to be clothed in Christ's light. Much of this is cloaked by actual and original sin. We can't see it, at least not in its entirety. But the gospel helps us. It pulls back that veil just a little bit. In our readings today, we see that we are not governed by the law, but we are invited into a covenant, into a covenantal relationship with God, a relationship that is strengthened through suffering, a relationship that will be crowned in glory. And this relationship with God is lived out with each other, within a community of believers. And the example we set, the example that is set for us by others, show that we are members of one family. This covenantal relationship is initiated by God, but it is also sealed sealed by God. It begins with a promise to a man, to Abram. Before he was renamed Abraham, he's already an old man. This covenant is given not only to him for all, but for all future generations. He has promised that his descendants will outnumber the stars in the sky. And this is sealed with the blood of animals. Abram is told to take these three different types of sacrificial animals, cut them in two, and lay them on the altar. Normally, they would have either been burned or they would have been consumed by those offering the sacrifice. But here, we don't really know what happens because Abram himself falls into a trance. He explains it as best he can, but so much more is there than we can understand. God himself validates his covenant with this torch that appears from nowhere and goes back and forth between these sacrificial offerings and consumes them. We see this covenant is for all when it is renewed and sealed by the blood of his Son. Our gospel shows another aspect into this mystical world where Christ takes his closest followers, Peter, James, and John, and he brings them up on top of the mountain. And they go up to Mount Tabor to pray. What an opposition to what happened last week in the gospel when the Spirit led Christ into the desert to be tempted. Now he brings his disciples for another reason. He brings them to pray. Jesus is at prayer on the mountaintop before he calls his disciples. He is at prayer at the Mount of Olives. He was crucified on Mount Calvary. These mountaintop experiences prelude or precede important events in our Gospels. And while he was praying, he becomes dazzling white. This light emanates from within. It's brighter than a sun like today shining on a field of snow. It's a light so bright that it blinds Paul on the road to Damascus. Within this light, Moses and Elijah appear. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents all of the prophets. For the Jewish faith, the entirety of their sacred scripture was encapsulated in the law and the prophets. So seeing Moses and Elijah, they would have seen the entirety of their faith. So why do we have the Transfiguration? Is it just for Christ? For us? I think the answer is most of our things in our faith life is both and. It was for Christ. What were they speaking about? They weren't talking about all of his works. They weren't talking about all of his miracles. They weren't talking about how things were going with his apostles, how establishing the church was coming along. They're speaking of the new exodus that Christ would lead. They're speaking of this exodus not out of physical slavery, out of Egypt, but this new exodus out of slavery to sin. This exodus that all mankind needs to experience. This exodus that is accomplished through suffering and death. Through the cross. And when we're having a difficult time on a human level, it helps us to have someone to talk things through. We're strengthened by community. Walking with another who has a shared experience strengthens us. It makes us ready to face what is coming. And Christ was fully human as well as fully divine. So to experience these things, to speak with Moses and Elijah, would have strengthened his resolve. Not that there was ever any wavering in his resolve, but it would have been similar to his prayer in the garden, a prayer that is so beautifully depicted in our stained glass window. A prayer that, or a depiction, I believe, that changed when the addition was added to the church, because with the addition, it kind of blocks out the bottom part, and it really represents that the humanity of Christ, that is the part that is shrouded, our part, shrouded in darkness, shrouded in sin, shrouded in all of these things, and the light doesn't come through that. But where does the light come through? His halo, the angel that is there to strengthen him, it says in St. Luke's Gospel. We need these experiences of the mountain because they will help us to not only survive, but to thrive in the experiences of the valley. And this is also where St. Paul can help us, because St. Paul didn't know Christ as he's walking through the world. St. Paul only knew Christ in his glorified being. He sees where we are. He knew well where we are. Men and women whose eyes and minds are occupied with earthly things, enemies of the cross. Our gods are in our stomach, their glory, their shame. And he experiences also what we are called to be, what we are meant to be. He knows that we are called to more. We are called to share in Christ's glory. We have our true citizenship in heaven. That is our patria, our home country, our homeland. And we will share in Christ's glory when he transforms our lowly body into his glorified body. That is the true transfiguration, our transformation. And he has promised it, and he will fulfill it. What will it be like? Don't really know. St. Thomas Aquinas can help us. He tells us that we will have an identity. We will recognize and we will be recognized by others. But there will also be a higher quality. We'll have all of the powers of the body, but at the height of perfection. And we will remain in that height. No more aging, no more losing of abilities. Kind of like that Geico commercial with Peter Pan, who's the same. And he runs into his old friends, Bill and Joanne. They've changed. We will change, but in a better way. We also will have a divine agility. Our bodies will be subject to our souls. We will be able to move at the speed of thought. Boom. Be in Rome. Boom. Be in New York. Not limited to time or space anymore. We'll be able to see with the light of Christ. Seeing with these eyes, we will be able to see with Peter, Lord, it is good that we are here. These eyes of faith help us to see what is truly happening at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. What was promised by Christ occurs every Mass. The bread and the wine that are offered, transubstantiated into his body and blood, into his soul and divinity. He comes to us and says the words spoken to his apostles at the Last Supper, take and eat. Take and drink, not standing with Moses and Elijah, but standing with all of the heavenly host. If we caught a glimpse of this reality, the light would blind us. And so we are protected. We see with the eyes of our body, bread and wine. We see with the eyes of faith, body and blood. We don't need to climb a distant mountain. The invitation is there. The invitation is right here for every one of us to join into this covenant, to join our sufferings with his into a community and with a community of believers, not only here in Prairie du Chien, but throughout the world, celebrating the second Sunday of Lent, so that we may be able to recite and to believe and to pray with St. Peter, Lord, it is good that we are here.